How you doing? Boy. Oh, there's some lights. Now I see you. It's amazing you can't see anybody without the lights. I just want to take a moment. I know my daughter usually up here doing this, but we have some very good friends of ours, and it's been with us. We've known them for, oh, gosh. Anyway, where are you guys at? Cicero, there you are. Angie and Jason Cicero. God bless you guys. They go back way back at the first ministry, and I think they were, weren't you guys the youth leaders for a while there? Yeah. And yeah, New Ark, way, way back. Oh my gosh. Now you're old. What happened? What happened? Now look at me and like, oh yeah, that's what happened. I remember now. But it's so good. I'm kidding you guys. You look fabulous. You guys look awesome. And you got the beautiful daughter with them today. Thank God. She wasn't even around, right? We weren't even thinking about her at that time, I don't think. But we had a wonderful time. And these two are the most talented people I've ever known. I'll be honest with you. If I did a production of any kind, boy, they were right there. I mean, acting. Jason Cicero is an incredible actor. He really is. And the guitar player. Yeah, I mean, just very talented. And so, welcome, guys. God bless you. Good to have you. Praise the Lord. Yeah, my daughter, very gracious, and asked me to speak today on Father's Day. And I just want to take a minute and wish our Father, who art in heaven, holy is your name. Listen to this. Jesus taught us this. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Just like it is in heaven, God wants it here on earth. Yeah, someday in the future, in you know, when the rapture takes, whatever, you know, 1,000-year reign, whatever our theology is, we put it way off there. But nothing's changed since the book of Acts. Nothing. And so God wants us to honor him as our Father. So we just take a minute to honor him. Father, we thank you. We love you. We just respond to your spirit today. You are the reason we are here. And we honor you with every fiber of our being. Even though we have failed and done so many foolish and incredible things that we should never have done, you're still there, bringing us into your kingdom, showing us your revelation of who you are. And all the good things that you offer us, we receive all of those today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 I like fathers, I really do. You know, I'm a father, I'm a grandfather, I'm also a great-grandfather. So I got it all down the line. But, you know, my wife, she said she would shoot me if I told this. And so I told her I wouldn't tell it, but I lied. And that's why I'm thankful for forgiveness. I've asked before I even ask, but, you know, look. But we were riding in a car. I don't know if we're in an argument or not. We don't ever argue. Oh, we were in an argument. If she says we were, we were. And so we're riding in a car. This just happened a few days ago. So I want to bring it up on Father's Day because it's my day. She says, honey, if you tell that, number one, I will kill you. And number two, there'll be visitors maybe there that won't understand you at all. So this is funny. It's not serious. We argue occasionally. We have. But I won't tell the other stuff. I'll hold that. But this one kind of made me chuckle a little bit because she built me up for the letdown. You ever been built up for a letdown? Here's what she said to me. You know what? You're an incredible father. You know what? You're so full of wisdom. You're so full of revelation. She said, I just love being around you. That's one bookend of you. And I said, uh-oh. If there's one bookend, there's got to be another. She says, and the other bookend is you're an idiot. I said, what? How can you do both? Well, I guess you can anyway. So I don't even know what she meant by that. I think I do. You ever seen Everybody Loves Raymond? If you haven't, it's the funniest show ever made. And, you know, they love each other, right? But every now and then she'll just call Raymond an idiot. Idiot. So that's what my wife said to me. So I receive it with love and admiration on this Father's Day. Hallelujah. We were blessed to take a trip up into South Dakota a few weeks back. And I love that area so much. It brings me great peace, and I just love to go there. So we went there, and we met my son and daughter-in-law up there. We met them there, Robin and Jeff. And they met us there, and we spent about 4 or 5 days or whatever it was. And we did all kinds of fun things. It was a wonderful, wonderful trip. And so enjoyed it so very much. And when we got back to Milwaukee, I was able to speak on that Sunday. And it was happened to be the Sunday that we're going to ordain my granddaughter, Olivia, and Max, her husband. And so it was a very special day. Pastor Barbara's there, and my wife, of course, on the platform. And everybody was up. Our family was up there. It was very nice. And everybody had a little word and praying over them and so forth. And it was a very blessed day. And so they got ordained into the ministry. We said, something new is going to take place today that you've never done before. And so I get up to preach, and about probably 3/4 of the way through the message, and we were having a great time, wonderful time, but the Spirit of God said to me, listen, I want you to pray for those to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit right now. And put it this way, you're looking for chronic seekers. That means people that have tried. They've had hands laid on them. They've done it the biblical way. They're trying to get something from God, and it seemed like they never quite got there. Or for some reason, they were felt under guilt or condemnation where they couldn't receive. So I said, if that's you, just to stop the service and come on up real quick. And I couldn't believe the response in a charismatic church. I could not believe it. But the place was just filled with people. And I said, okay. I said, Olivia and Max, this is your first assignment. You get off the front row. You're not going to watch me pray. You get up here and pray. And I had my daughter come up and had my wife come up, and Pastor Jeff and Robin came up. And we as a family went down through there. And I'm not kidding you. The Spirit of God just fell on that congregation. It was amazing service. And words of knowledge and things were flying, and people were being blessed. And my son called me and said, Dad, over 50 people received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. With the evidence, hallelujah. So we come off of that to come back home. And to hopefully be a blessing to you today with the Word of God. So I want to just lay some groundwork for this message for just a few minutes. What time we get out? 12:30? 12:30? Look it. I got one, don't worry about it. Everybody else said, crap, there goes my meal. Are y'all here? I'm playing with you, okay? So this is very, very important to understand, but you know, the Bible is very clear in James 3:1. Says, not many of you should become teachers. Think about that. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers. For you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. That scripture the Lord gave me as I was putting this together, and it just prompted my heart to say to you out of the depths of my soul that when I get up here, I pray and believe that God will touch His Word. Because if He doesn't, I have nothing to say. And there will be nothing that anybody can do for you. It has to be the Lord and Him alone. So I'm going to lay a little bit of groundwork before we get into this message, because I think it's going to be a good message. I'll be preaching to you about coming out of the closet. Yes, it is what you think. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. It's just a catchy thing. But anyway, so I want to lay some groundwork that I think will bless you, okay? Now, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1. That's why I'm very careful with the Word of God, because I want to make sure that what I teach you comes from the Bible and not somebody else's idea about the Bible. Here's just a few scriptures. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. 2 Corinthians 4, 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Do you see that? Too much hero worship today. You see, another one just fell. Another great pastor. Two great pastors in the past 2 weeks. I mean, great pastors. We put a lot of confidence in these men, and they fell. Somebody said, well, it happened years ago. They fell. Something God's bringing to the forefront now. So the Word of God should not be handled by everybody. We should know that we'll be held in more strictness in the judgment day. And listen very carefully, okay? Okay, let me do verse 4 again. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. 2 Corinthians 1:21. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ has anointed us in, is God. He is God. 2 Corinthians 4:13. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written is, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. Luke 9:1-2. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. Got to get this in your spirit. He sent them to preach, watch, the kingdom of God and heal the sick. You can't have kingdom without healing. Two things. The kingdom of God needs to be preached, and then we'll see the results of healing the sick. Now, those scriptures are very, very powerful scriptures. Each one of them contain a message within themselves. But as I was going through this, that's why I love the Holy Spirit so much, because when you go through His Word, His anointing, you be His servant, He will point out things that maybe nobody's seen before, or maybe you have, but he'll confirm things to your heart. So I connected, by the Spirit, I connected just words through here. Okay, ministry, treasure, anointed, same spirit of faith, power, authority, and preach kingdom of God. Now, when you look at that, I just wrote this out and just tied all those scriptures together, okay? Because I'm going somewhere. I want you to pay attention. I'll break it down for you. Those scriptures, we have this ministry, and the ministry is the treasure in us that is excellent power. And it is of God and not us. And God is the one who anoints us with the same spirit of faith that He has. And when you understand this, you will have all power and authority over all demons, and you are able to cure diseases. And when you understand all of that, He sends you to preach the kingdom of God and heal the sick. The ministry is the treasure. Hear that. The ministry is the treasure. And what God does with His treasure is He anoints it. Not you, He anoints His treasure. This is the problem with a lot of people today. We think, that guy's really anointed. There is nobody that is anointed. It is His Word that is anointed. What you see in a flesh or a human being or a preacher is maybe charisma. Or maybe he's good with people or eloquent speaker or whatever the case may be. But that is not anointing. The anointing, God is anointing the treasure that's in the man's heart if the Word is in there. The ministry is the treasure. I want you to understand that. That's why it's so important that we come together on Sundays and Wednesdays and whenever we come together, that we come not to hear a sermon. We come to hear the treasure that's in the heart of God. Because one word from the heart of God can change every aspect of your life. And sometimes it's awesome, and sometimes it's powerful, and sometimes it's correcting, and you know, you never know what God's gonna do. But whatever it is, it's His Word and His anointing. And He says power and authority will come. Power, miraculous power. We don't need just power. We need to see the power of God working. Miraculous power, authority, that means jurisdiction, liberty, privilege, force, freedom. It goes on and on and on, the meaning. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Now listen very carefully. He never took the power and authority back. He didn't take it back. That's a good place for somebody to shout, amen. He didn't take it back. He's sharing it with you. He wants you to have it. And not a few. He wants every single child of God to recognize that if this book is in them, then the treasure is in them. And if the treasure is in them, then the anointing flows out of the treasure. He's not anointing you. You're not more special above anybody else. There are no special people in the kingdom because we're all special. Because he wants to use every single one of us. So many Christians, and I got a burden for this as I was putting this together. I said, God, there's so many believers. I mean, hundreds of millions of believers that just don't even know who they are. They don't even know what they're going to some places sometimes, some churches sometimes, and they're hearing messages that aren't really, you know, even affecting them spiritually. How-to messages or feel-good messages or let's give a great talk so we can lift, elevate the people. You should not need elevating. You should know who you are already. And if God's word, this book, is in you, there's a treasure that's in you. And that treasure is the only thing that God will anoint. He's not interested in making your flesh feel good. He could care less about how you feel. He's not into that. God's not into making you feel better or feel more accomplished in life or, and I hate to say this, but living your best life. None of that stuff is gospel. The gospel is I die daily. I put myself down that he may elevate me. And when he does that, he's only elevating the treasure that's in my heart. Because if the word's not in you, he cannot elevate you. So there has to be an elevation in your life to see the great things of God happening in your life. Somebody shout, amen. Amen. Shout this too. I know he's telling the truth. You know why? Because I'm accountable to what I'm telling you. And I know I'll be judged much more stricter than you will. All right, so he never took the power and authority back. He has never changed his mind. He's not like you. He's not like me. Like, I'm having a bad day. This is God. I'm having a bad day today. I got a lot of stuff going on around the world, and I got a lot of things to fix, and I'm ticked off at my kids, and so therefore, you know what? I'm just not going to deal with you today. No, you're always on his mind. You're always there in the forefront, but he's looking for the treasure. You see, he can't anoint you unless there's treasure in you, because that's what he's looking for. And we all can minister effectively to other people. You may not be up here, but you can certainly be effective. I was more effective in the world when I was out there working a job and raising a family. I was more effective when I went out and ministered there than when I started pastoring. So he still believes today in the delivering power that he offers his kids today, all right? So at times it may appear that we have a power shortage. I know that. I've had the same experiences. And sometimes we may experience a faith crisis. You ever been there? Where your faith, you wonder, is my faith working? Am I really doing what I should be doing? But he never does. He never does. There's not a crisis in the kingdom of God. That's why he said, preach it. When you preach it, you're elevating him in people. You're elevating his anointing in people. You're elevating his treasure that's in people. So you're not elevating people. There's no faith crisis in heaven. You can have what you want because the word says that you can. But the treasure's got to be in you first. He said, I'm the Lord, I don't change. It says in James 1:17, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. Think about that. Whom there is no variation nor shadow of turning. So I want you to get that before I go to the message, because this is very critical. He gave this to me. When you tie those scriptures, they're very, the Holy Spirit's so awesome. You can pick scriptures all over the, as he gives them to you, and he'll tie them all together and make it mean exactly what he wants to say, because it's alive. So God is saying, listen, there's a ministry that I gave you. I put it in you that is a treasure in you, and I'm going to anoint the treasure so it will not be of you, but it'll be of me, because I put it there. And then eventually he will bring the ministry out of you when you begin to believe it, begin to operate in it. And all of a sudden you'll begin to see, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And there's an anointing that will come upon you just like it did in the old covenant. Now, we live with the anointing on the inside only as the treasure is fed. The treasure is not fed and the treasure is not there. You're not anointed. You're not anointed. That's why we say preachers get so anointed up the pulpit. No, that's honestly, guys, let me tell you something about that. I've done this for a long time. And that really is about 50% of it is show. Because we know we're in front of cameras, we get in front of people, we want to act a little different than we normally do. You want to find out what a preacher is really like? Look at his private life. You'll see what he's like. I promise you that. All right? My gosh, it's quiet in here. I told my wife, I said, you know what? I don't even want to preach today. It's so quiet in this place, I'm telling you. It's a quiet spirit. I hate quiet spirits. All right, you ready? All right, here we go. Look at the screen. Mark 9, 14 through 24. This is what the Lord said to bring you today. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude around them. Stop a moment. A great multitude around the disciples. We can't draw a crowd. We have to put on a show to draw a crowd. That's what I used to do, put on a show to draw a crowd. But these disciples had a crowd around them. Crowds are easy to draw. And the scribes were disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, when they saw Jesus, who wasn't there, but he comes up, they saw him. All the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, what are you discussing with them? That's an interesting question. What are you discussing with my disciples? Then one of the crowd answered and said, Teacher, I brought you my son, who has a mute spirit. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples, that they should cast it out, but they could not. He answered them and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Then they brought him to him. And when he saw him, he immediately his spirit convulsed him. He fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. How many would like to minister to somebody like that? A few. Most of the Christians would have scattered with the crowd. I'm just telling it like it is. I want you to hear that. Why? Because you don't have the treasure. When you run in fear of anything, you don't have the treasure. I'll probably say that. I'm trying to be nice. I really am trying to be nice. He said, was it verse 21, he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? Why would Jesus ask that question? I'll get to it in a moment, but why would he do that? Why would he say, how long has this been happening to him? Do you think Jesus already knew? Oh, of course. Of course he knew. But he asked a question to get the right answer or to get to the answer. See, this is what God will do. He'll ask a question to get to the answer. And he said, from childhood, and often he has thrown him both into the fire, into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. He said, Jesus, if you're able to, you could help us. Jesus, I love Jesus because he's great. He's fantastic. He says, well, if right back at you, if you can believe, it's possible. Immediately, the father and child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I hear Christians saying that, you know, well, I don't know if I really believe or not, but Lord, help my unbelief. He's not speaking to a child of God. He's speaking to a lost person. He will never speak to you the way he's speaking to the lost person. You should have the answer. You should know the answer. You should recognize the treasure in you, what it's saying, what the treasure is speaking to you. What the ministry, the treasure, is saying to you. You should know that already. You shouldn't have to wait till Sunday to get a word from God. You should have that every day of your life. You should have the word building up in you and building up in you and building up in you. And don't become an invalid in the word of God. Know the word of God. Get it in you. You may not understand it at that moment, but you will get it down the road when you need it. It always comes that way. The revelation will flow. He'll anoint the treasure that's in you. He'll anoint the word that's in you. That's what he will do. And so you have disciples here. Now watch this. We're trying to channel the power of God. Jesus had taught them. Now they're out by themselves, all together, trying to channel the power of God. They want to use the power of God on someone who needs it. So they went looking, and they found people, because people are everywhere. They're in need everywhere. Just walk the streets, and you'll see them by the thousands. They're longing for something real. They're looking for a treasure. And the treasure is only hid in your heart. But when you go to the world, that treasure begins to bubble up out of you with an anointing. These guys were looking for a way to release the power of God. But something happened, didn't it? They wanted to. But I believe what God showed me is that they were with, and we are as well, with a generation of negative people. We're trying to preach a message that is kingdom of God. Not this world, kingdom of God, that is the will of God, because that's what Jesus said to pray, that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And he said, I want you to preach the kingdom of God and heal the sick. Those two things. And those two things are the most least preached in the country, in this nation. Those two sermons are the least preached in this country. The reason we don't see people being healed the way we should see them being healed is because we're not preaching it. We're not preaching with kingdom authority. We have to back it with what God is saying. Somebody say amen. Amen. So when you get to this point in your life, you understand it takes the power of God to bring this to happen. But we are dealing with a negative generation of people. We're dealing with the people that just don't get it. I mean, the church don't even get it, much less the people of the world. So we're dealing with negative people. They want something from God. They want to see the power of God. But the Bible said they could not do it. They spent every moment with Jesus, every day with Jesus, learning from Jesus at his feet. They had the revelation sitting before them, the word personified in Jesus. And yet when they went out on their own, they were confronted with a negative people that wanted to attack them and not receive what God had. Church is the same way today. Negative people. We are so more interested today, not we are, but people in general, are more interested on giving excuses why we should stay home and not go to church anymore. It's pathetic. I mean, churches ought to be filled to capacity because we have a treasure that is in us that nobody else has. And the world should be seeking us and knocking the door down to get to us, but we don't have anything to give them anymore. And if we don't have an answer for a sick person on the street to be healed, then the treasure is not being anointed. Something's wrong. So we have to get back to this stuff. This is what the Lord told me to tell you this morning, okay? The disciples virtually were coming out of the closet. They were coming out of the closet. They'd been with Jesus, God only knows how long, learning what he had to offer, the word of God himself. And yet when they were loosed on the public and confronted with negativity, they could not do it. Why? Because they began to rely upon themselves instead of the treasure that is in them. They were going public with their faith. It's about time the church goes public with their faith. Nowhere to hide. No more excuses. They had to produce results, but they fell short. I said, you know, many years ago, before I ever started pastoring a church, and I really honestly, truly, I hate to admit this, but there were times when I thought, God, why did you take me out of my wonderful, incredible life? When I was working, earning a paycheck, I was going out 3-4 nights a week, ministering in hospitals, coffee houses back in those days, Women's Aglow meetings, Full Gospel Businessmen meetings, busy, busy, busy all the time for the kingdom of God. I saw miracles, signs, and wonders everywhere I went. I mean, everywhere I went, there was never, I mean, it was, I've seen people who were paralyzed, the neck down, began to move under the power of God. I'm telling you, this stuff is real as it can be. But when you are launched into a religious world, because what church really is, and you try to bring them to a place where they can be used of God, they just want to shut the door, close the door, don't want to deal with it. We would rather get into a gossiping mode, the latest tidbit going on, or they don't recognize my gift. You know, on and on and on it goes. I said, God, why did you take me out of that miracle, signs, and wonders just to get up in front of people and teach them? And here's what he said to me, how I started the church all those years ago. He said, I want you to equip them for the work of the ministry. Instead of having you out there doing this, I can have everybody out there doing this. All they have to do is understand who they are, what they are, the anointing that's on your life, the power. We put all of our eggs into a ministry, and we begin to bottle ourselves up. Even the disciples were bottled up with Jesus. They were no good to him. They had to confront the public. When they confronted the public, it wasn't like being around Jesus. It was like, uh-oh, these people don't like us. They don't receive us. They won't get healed. Nothing's happening. What are we going to do? But yet they drew a crowd. Somebody say, drew a crowd. Man, there's crowds being drawn all over this country under the label of Christianity. Big crowds coming together. What are big crowds of Christians coming together really helping the world? How are they touching your neighbor, your coworker, the sick people? One more conference, one more get together, one more whatever. There's somebody's coming to town. Let's go see. And we all get together and we these big rallies and we're like, we would leave there. Nothing's happening. Because the treasure in us is dormant. And we're confronting, when we leave that atmosphere, we confront a world that we actually live in that's unbelieving, uncaring, lost, dark. Today, darker than it's ever been. And we go to the public with our faith. We get out of our places and we go to the public. We have no place to hide anymore. You can't hide in church. No place, no more excuses. We have to produce results. If we're not producing results, according to Jesus, Jesus said, your fruits are very important to me. And by those fruits, I'll know who you are and they'll know who you are. He said, and if you produce fruit, then I'm going to come along and clip some of your wings so you can produce some more. And it's going to hurt a little bit. It's going to look a little funny, but I'm going to clip some. See, Spirit of God, let's be honest. The Spirit of God's clipping some wings this morning, right in this service. Because normally you're a lot more animated. But this has to be said. Because if it's not, you'll lack power. You'll lack the ability. You'll fail. You'll try. You'll never make it. You'll never be strong enough unless you do what I'm teaching you now. Because it's the treasure that's in you that's more important than anything else. Look at verse 21 again in Mark 9. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, since childhood. Verse 22, and often he has thrown him, the devil has thrown him into both the fire and in the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, this is a hopeless situation. See, the world is in a hopeless situation right now. I mean, this kid was having seizures. And I even go farther and say that he was suicidal. When I was putting this together, this is the word of the Lord coming right now for somebody in this place, okay? This is a suicidal situation. This is somebody, a young man, since his little bitty boy, he's had this devil that's gripped him. And he's thrown himself into the water to drown himself. Thrown him into the fire to burn himself. That's what the devil does. Now, I want you to think about this. Suicidal. So what do we do with people who are suicidal? We put them in counseling sessions. See, the church says, we got a good counselor for you. We can't help you. We'll give you a counselor to help you. There's probably a place for that. I don't know. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible is very clear. The treasure in you that you have to give is way above what the world has to give, even Christian counseling, which I find it hard to find in the Bible. But nevertheless, hopeless situation, a situation where somebody is suicidal that you have to deal with. He said, but if you can. You see, the world is begging, but if you can help me, is there something in you? I don't want to go to your church. I don't want to go and sit through a service. I don't want to sing some songs. I don't want to go through the ritual and all that you all do, which is all good. It's good for us, but it's not good for them. They have needs. When they walk through the door, they have a need. Their need is to be free of what ails them. And the church is filled with the treasure of God. We have the ability to do that. We only have two messages we're supposed to preach. Somebody said, preach the gospel. That's what we're supposed to do. No, he said, preach the kingdom of God and heal the sick. That's what he said to do. That is the gospel. That's the good news. Look, if you're sick, it's good news that you can be made well. If you're poor, it's good news that God will make you rich by your giving. It's good news, but it's connected all together. So the world is looking for this. We have to be ready to give it to them. If you can. To me, that's like a stronghold. It's a discouragement. It's unbelief. Verse 23 again says, but Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Jesus is not speaking to his disciples here. I've heard that sermon 1,000 times from preachers. Yep, the disciple having a tough time. So he's talking to the disciples. He's encouraging them. No, he's talking to the man, the lost man. He's not talking to disciples. He's already taught them what to do. He's already told them what to do. He already said, this is what you're going to do. You're going to preach the kingdom. You're going to heal sick. You're going to cast out devils. Now get out there and get the job done. He was not speaking to them. Don't, and listen to this very carefully, don't let your lack of experience rule out what God seeks to do in your life. Lord told me, I wrote this down. Listen, if you want to do something for God, I know many people want to do something for God, and that's admirable. You say, but I don't have any experience. I can't do that. I've never done that before. I remember the very first person that I laid hands on when I was barely saved. I mean, barely saved. Just a month. And I realized that God wanted us to lay hands on the sick. I laid my hands on this guy, and he was instantly healed by the power of God. And I thought, this is pretty cool stuff. That fired me up for the next 40 years. I'm telling you, God wants you to do these things. My wife and I stopped by a place. We were out taking a drive. This is many, many years ago. She said, let's stop and see her cousin. Marty is his name. We're going to stop and see Marty. I didn't know Marty real well, but I knew him. And so we stopped by his apartment, went in, and he had about 2 or 3 guys there just sitting around drinking some beer. You know how guys are. Not Christian guys, amen? I didn't get any amens whatsoever. Well, maybe you're sipping saints. I don't know. But anyway, that's between you and the Holy One. Whatever. But the truth of it is that we went there, and we weren't spiritual. We were not fasting. We were not in prayer. We just wanted to stop and say hi. We went in there. He has his bottle of beer, has it in his hand. When he sees us, he puts the bottle down on the floor beside him. Now, we're nothing, but that's not power. That's just somebody who's convicted by God. He puts it down. So we sat there for a while talking, and this guy says, man, I have got a headache. I'm about to die over here. Now, where did that come from? He's telling you his need. Now, with me, you got to hit me over the head to get me to move sometime. My wife jumps up, literally jumped on her feet, runs across the room, grabs him by the head. In the name of Jesus, headache, go! And I'm not going to say what he said. I will give you the initials of what he said. And you can let your imagination run wild, because I don't talk like this. He said, S-O-B, it's gone. Somebody's got to explain to everybody else what S-O-B is, I think. it over your head. See, religious folks, oh, you can't talk like that. No, you can. It's all right. People are lost. They don't care. All they know is the result. Something happened. He got, the headache was gone instantaneously. Gone. You say, well, that's not a big deal. Oh, it's a big deal whoever's got the headache. We can go on and on all day with stories. Don't let your lack of experience rule out what God seeks to do in your life. Don't let your experience or your experiences rule your faith in God's word. It's not my job to do the job. My job is to give him an opportunity to do the job through me. God is not a liar. God is not able to be double-minded like you. He doesn't have bad days. Bible says in Numbers, God is not a man that he should lie. He's not the son of man that he should repent. Has he said he will not do it also? Has he not spoken it? Will he not make it good? The answer is, of course he will. What is the word teaching us in this story? He's teaching us that the conditions that you're in can provide the best atmosphere for it, really, to step out in faith, to act in faith. It all comes down to faith. You know, you can study the Bible until your eyeballs fall out of your head. But if you don't learn that principle of faith, simple faith that moves mountains, that he spoke, therefore I speak. If he says it, I can say it. If he told me to do it, I can do it. Faith, you got to learn faith. If you don't learn faith, you'll never rise above where you are ever in your life, and you'll never see a miracle. It comes down to faith. I'm believing God. When Jesus returns, the Bible said, will he really find faith on the earth? What's he looking for when he comes back? He's looking for faith. He's not looking for big churches. Oh, you built a great church? That's wonderful. Look at that big old church you built in my name. He could care less. You won't find Jesus in places like that. You'll find him out there with people that are looking for answers. The church should be going to them. He's teaching us that these conditions that you face give an opportunity for God's power to come forth. If you can believe it, all things are possible to him who believes, is what the Bible says. Anything, at any time, with any person is possible. Anything, anywhere, anytime. The supernatural realm is a realm of God's grace. We heard so much about grace, but grace is always tied to supernatural. People say, well, I'm under grace. Are you operating supernatural? Something happened in your life, you're not under grace. Oh, my God, that went right over your head. I'm going to let that just resonate there for a minute. What is our job then? Well, it's to develop supernatural revelation and expectation. You've got to learn to expect things from God. The Bible says an expectation. It means to have a strong desire and to be filled with anticipation and confidence in obtaining what is hoped for. I'm getting down here. Now watch. Romans 15, 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy, all peace, in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Wow. You are God's focus. You are the focus of God. Most Christians walk around with condemned so bad they don't understand the focus of God. I found a scripture, a couple of them. I'm going to share this one with you right now. In Isaiah 41, 9 and 10, it says, you, whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest regions, and said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not cast you away. Fear not, I am with you. Don't be dismayed, I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you by my righteous right hand. You don't think God cares about you? Oh yeah, you're special. If that's true, that I'm special, then what can I expect? You can't approach God. I'm going to give you these principles real quick, and we're going to be finished. But You can't expect God. You won't expect God to do anything in your life unless you know if you don't know you're special. You'll always go to God, confessing sin. How unworthy you are. I do it. I know what you're talking. Listen, I've been there. But every time I sense God's presence is when I go in there, God, I'm expecting. What am I expecting? One, I'm expecting God to move toward me. God not moving away from me. When I mess up, God's not moving away from me. God's moving toward me. An illustration many years ago, had some people on the platform, and I said, okay, I'll play God, and I'm standing here where I always stand, and then you walk over there, and you walk over there going to some other point in your life. You're going over there. And I had them stop, and I said, you just backslid. Even though you didn't backslide into sin, but you left where God was. Because God never changes. He stays where he is. His principles never change. God never changes. The moment you go to do your own thing, which I've done them, you'll know. You look back, oh, I left God. He's back there. And you have to retrace those steps, find where he is, but expect him to move towards you. The moment you step toward him, he'll come towards you. God will meet you, all right? Secondly, expect a God encounter, and I mean a real serious God encounter. God desires to visit with you, not just be there to pull you out of a mess. He wants to visit with you. There's always a progression of the movement of God, always, always a progression. It's amazing. When you encounter Jesus, he changes your life. The Son of God changes your life. He really does. He always brings something good, healing, provision, encouragement, a life-changing encounter for good and with good. The Holy Spirit is his presence in our lives. Man, you know when you're doing wrong. Why don't you just quit it? Just quit it. I'll tell you why you don't, because it's pride. Pride is the number one enemy of humankind. That's why they have a pride month that's a disaster. Because pride can't go anywhere. It's a fall. It's a guaranteed fall. Satan fell from heaven because of pride. But yet you think in your flesh that you can overcome what you're going through without submitting it to God. Not going to happen. It's called pride. Pride will always bring you down. Always has and always will. Number three, expect God to put his hand on you for good. What is his hand? His hand is his power and his presence. That's his hand. When this happens, he gives you four things. When his hand comes upon you, four things happen in your life, and you'll recognize them. Promotion comes. Not get your mind off physical things. Anybody can achieve promotion by working hard. I'm talking about from God. Promotion, another level of influence where in the kingdom, fruitfulness comes, provision comes, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, all these things to happen in your life. Protection comes. There's something about God who will build something around you. The Bible calls it the divine hedge. He'll build something around you that the enemy can't get in. He just can't get in, no matter what he does. And then power. His hand over ours. Power of God. Psalm 139:5, you have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. He goes before you and he follows after you. Do you understand how much he loves you? This is real love right here. This is real grace. 1 Peter 5:6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Number four, expect God to give you a prophetic assignment. We're in a whole different world today. And the church that is lagging behind has got a lot of catching up to do. The prophetic has hit the world. You don't like it, it's not going away. It's not going to change. This is one of the final key things that God's placing back in the body of Christ to speak prophetically into it. And watch the life begin to come forward. The life is coming forward. And others are being pushed away because they refused to hear what God's saying in this hour. God's speaking big time. Like never before in the history of mankind. The prophetic is real. And if you're going to move forward into this new season of God, you have to expect God to give you a prophetic assignment. God, what's my assignment? What am I supposed to do? I don't care what it is. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. Remember his mother, Mary, the wine ordeal at Cana? Hey, don't come to me. Whatever he says, do. Just do it. Whatever Jesus says to do, do it. But you got to seek him for a prophetic assignment because this is what God is doing in this hour. And by the way, the apostolic is beginning to come forward like I've never seen before either. These things have to be they fit together. The glove fits together. The churches that understand that are going to blow the doors off, not because we're looking for church growth. We don't care about that. But it's coming together of the will of God, the perfect, genuine will of God. And when you see that happen, things begin to move forward, okay? Am I boring you? Or are you okay? All right. How does God speak? Number 5, expect God to visit you. Where are you? Where are you? What kind of person are you? Do you need your heart to be kindled? Have you lost your fire? I wrote this stuff down as he asked me the questions. Have you lost your fire? Samuel 2:8 says he raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the beggar from the ash heap to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory. What kind of person are you? Are you beat down, wore down? Do you feel like you've been chopped down? I found a scripture that blew my mind. And it wasn't in the Gospels. It was in Job. Can anything good come out of Job? I got it in the Message translation. I don't know if you guys have it or not, but I think you might. Job 14:7, for a tree, there is always hope. Chop it down, it still has a chance. Its roots can put out fresh sprouts. Even if its roots are old and gnarled, its stump long dormant. At the first whiff of water, it comes to life, buds, and grows like a sapling. Isn't that awesome? Doesn't matter how you feel or how low you are. There's still hope. But don't stop too soon. Let God have a chance. Celebrate what you accomplish in your life, yes. But desire to accomplish more. Never rise to a place where you stop living. Keep going. There's another level. What kind of person are you? You have to move from a hard heart to a believing heart. If you have to make that transition, make it. You're not a victim. You're victorious. Get rid of the heart of indifference. Just who cares? That's deadness. No life in that. We need a supernatural expectation of a divine encounter with God in the church today. My favorite scripture in the entire Bible, I've had it forever, Galatians 6:9, let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Let us not grow weary while you're doing good. Don't stop doing good because weariness will kill you. At the right time, God will seize the moment for you. It's time for the church to get out of the closet. I'm honest with you today. I could have brought something to have everybody standing on their feet shouting and all that nonsense, which is okay for an ego. But truth is much deeper than that. Truth goes into the spirit of man and woman. And it does something on the inside that works a work that can't be worked without him. There is a treasure in you. And that treasure is connected to the ministry, what God has for you. Ministry is the treasure. When you understand that, he will anoint it so it will not be of you, but it'll be of him. Amen. And after he anoints it, he will teach you. And once he teaches you, he'll release you to go to teach the kingdom of God and heal the sick. Amen. Would you stand to your feet, please? Okay, Father, we thank you. We glorify you. You alone are to be magnified today. No human flesh shall receive your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great Father's Day. Love you guys. Bye-bye.